Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
That was really special. We've really been, Shay and Andy and Amy have been really working hard to get that together over the last few weeks. And so we were supposed to do, like, me and my sister and my older sister, we're going to do a little interview type thing, and then things happened and we weren't able to get there, and they still kept me in there. I don't know why, but anyways, it was really sweet. Thank you. All right. How's things going? I know. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. I just thank God for all the women of influence. You know, because even if you've given birth, if you haven't given birth, you've influenced those around you. And I just want to throw a happy Mother's Day out and give a happy Mother's Day to all the women of influence that have been there for the other people's kids as well. Amen? Yes, 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 yes. And thank you so much. Thank you so much for being who you are. But the kids are staying in today, so we're not going to be dismissing them, just in case you think I forgot about that. We're going to be good. And so, you know, the thing that I love about that video is their innocence. I love the innocence of children. I love hanging out with kids and because they are innocent. And life hasn't had a chance yet most of the time. Life hasn't had a chance to bat them around and make them, you know, cynical adults. And there's a lot of times that I just want to take them and I want to encapsulate them and I want to put them away, you know, and not let them grow up and not let them be influenced by the world. Amen? But how many of you know that that's not life and that's not God's plan? That is not God's plan. You know, a lot of times it's our job to protect them and insulate them, but it's also our job to equip them. And so what I want to do today is I want to minister a message that talks about equipping our kids and passing on the fire of the Holy Spirit, passing on the gospel, passing on what God has instilled in our hearts as parents, grandparents, and church members, family church members, and passing that on into the next generation. And so I want to preach a message that I've entitled A Living Legacy. You know, New Life Church is a great church. I just love you guys. Thanks. I really wasn't fishing for that, but thanks. But if we want New Life Church to remain an amazing church for generations to come, then all of us need to do our part to pass on the fire. We need to do our part to be a living legacy. And I promise, this is not a plug for children's ministries, not at all. But if you're, you know, just saying, you know where to find me. You know, we think that influencing our children and our children, raising our children, especially in this time, is an impossible task, or it's a very difficult task. You know, when we look out into the world, you know, when the President of the United States gets up and he says that this is no longer a Christian nation, doesn't that just hurt your heart? And to see where our nation is right now, and knowing that it is not in God's plan, that this is not God's plan for our nation, it's really difficult. It's really hard, and we want to just, you know, barricade, especially if we have children or young children, grandchildren, and we want to just barricade them in and say, nope, you're not, you can't, you're not going out there. But like I said before, that's not God's plan for their life. Because time marches on. Every year they get older. Every year they experience new things, both good and bad. And once again, it's our job to equip them to face the world. And so let's look at Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Jesus' last words on on earth were, or last words recorded with his disciples were, "Go, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you." How many of you know that the mission field starts at home? The mission field starts at home. The mission field starts at home, whether you have children at home, or the mission field starts here in our congregation. The mission field starts in Kingman with our neighbors. And whoever we can see, whoever we can have influence over and influence the gospel, those are the ones that we need to be reaching. Those are the ones that we need to be passing on a legacy to. As parents, grandparents, and church family, we need to be examples of godliness to the next generation. When today's children look back on this particular time of their life, what will they remember about how we all lived for God around them? What are they going to remember about us? What are they going to remember about their church family? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Hang on. There we go. Technology. If you could leave an inheritance to your family worth more than money, one that would allow not only your children, but the lives of everyone you touch to defeat sickness and disease, to continually increase financially, and to enjoy supernatural success in relationships, would you do that? And what that would be, what that would look like, is that would look like, excuse me, that would look like a legacy of mountain-moving, demon-defeating, immovable, unbeatable faith. Children with mountain moving, demon defeating, unmovable, unbeatable faith. That is what God has called us to do. God is, and that's a tall order, but God has called us, like I said, to equip our children, to equip our grandchildren, to be a positive influence to those around us so that we could carry on the legacy of this church. What is our legacy going to be? Oh, that we, you know, we're just a nice little, simple little church. No, our legacy is grace, hope, and transformation. Our legacy is to send our children out into the world fully equipped to defeat the enemy in their lives. Amen? Legacy, the definition of legacy is the long-lasting impact of a person's life. Billy Graham said the greatest legacy that one can pass on to one's children and grandchildren is a legacy of character and faith. Amen? Sorry. I don't have enough tables up here. A legacy of character and faith. Psalms 145 verse 4 says, "Let each generation teach its children," or tell its children, "of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power." There is power in testimony. And a lot of us need to be sharing our testimony with others. We need to be sharing our testimony with our children and our grandchildren and with the children that are around us. And when I'm talking about, just to make it clear, when I talk about children, not only are we talking about the babies in elementary age, but you know what? We need to also put into that. We need to put into that our kids, like from the ages of 17 to 25. You know, because I feel like that is the most precarious age for church kids. That is the most precarious age, because that is the age when they're like having to live their faith. That's when it shows, okay, do I actually believe this, or am I actually just going to church because mom said I had to? You know, when they start getting jobs, are they asking for time off so that they could go? Are they asking for time off to go to church? Or are they volunteering for Sunday so they can get out of church? You know, that's when we know that their faith is either real or not. And what that takes, they're floundering. That's a moment. A lot of times, kids are floundering in that age group. And it's not until they hit 25 that it's like, okay, here we go. This is what I need. And I want you to know, the world is playing for keeps. The devil's playing for keeps today. And it's like, we can't wait and say, well, let's see what they're going to do. You know, they got to make their own choices. No, we need to guide them. Yes, they have to make their own choices, but we need to equip them to make those choices. You know, when you have these TikTok trends where 13-year-olds are dying from overdosing in their parents' medicine cabinet because someone on TikTok said that you could get a really good buzz off of something, off of Benadryl. You know, that's happening. That's happening. You know, children that are 10, 11, 12, you know, all, they're younger and younger and younger. They are being influenced by the world. We need to look at it as an opportunity. We need to look at it as a time where it's like, okay, you know what, devil? You're going to double down. I'm going to double down. I am going to raise my kids to live for God. And today, I'm going to teach you how to do that, okay? Some of you are already there. Some of you just need a little bit of fine-tuning. And some of us need a little bit of a reminder. You know what? We don't live from a platform of fear. We live from a platform of faith. And we are going to, by faith, we are going to be able to apply what God has put into our hearts, instill what is inside of us, and be able to give that fire away. Amen? So this is the assignment. The assignment is to find out, how are we going to do that? So I'm going to take us on a little journey. And so I did some math. And I was wondering, how many hours of influence are in a child's life in a year, okay? How many hours of influence do we have in a child's life, okay? And so we know that a child, there's 8,760 hours in a child's life, or in anybody's life, okay? Every year, we're given 8,760 hours, okay? Now, when we're talking about elementary children, or children, school-age children, the average school-age child should get between 10 to 12 hours of sleep daily. Okay, now I know that my high schoolers are not getting that. They come in and say, oh, it's up till 2 a.m. I said, you need to go to bed. You know, you need your rest. But yeah, they average between 10 and 12 hours of sleep. So if we take 10 hours, we multiply that. We take those 10 hours out. That's 1,080 hours in the year that we're taking out. We also know, nope, that's not right. I knew that didn't sound right. Start over. Average hour, 10 hours sleeping, 365 hours, days a week, 300, oh Jesus, Lord have mercy. This went so well for service. It's all right. Should we rewind? Do it again. Reset. Here we go. Good morning. Okay. Help me out. 3,650 hours of sleep that your children should be getting every year. That's about 10 hours a day, okay? How many hours are they at school? 1,080 hours a year at school. That's averaging between 7 to 8 hours a day if they go to public school, okay? Then we're going to give 160 hours just for activities outside school. This is after school activities of, you know, gymnastics and football and soccer and wrestling and, you know, the martial arts or whatever, dance, whatever your child is involved in. We're going to give 160 hours, give or take a few, you know, a year, which averages out to, you know, 2 to 4 hours a week, okay? So that total, when we take all of that from our grand total, we are left with 3,870 hours in a year that we have with our children. See me after service. Because I'm not taking this home. I'm going to actually take it and give it to your kids. Next week. 3,870 hours in a year. Now, we can look at that as, oh my gosh, and very overwhelming. Or we can look at that as, oh my goodness, look at the opportunity that is before us. Instead of looking at it in the negative and looking at how much, because we do, as much as we try, we do squander time, you know, we all do. But it's like, oh wow, look at all of these opportunities that I have with my kids when they're not sleeping, when they're not at school, when they're not in their extracurricular activities after school. Now, what that doesn't account for is that doesn't account for blended families, that doesn't account for joint custody, that kind of thing. And after that, this would kind of go down a little bit after that. But that's on average, the average child, that's how much time that parents get to spend with their children. Now, on average, children spend at most 3 hours a week at church. That's high. And when we account for the rise of weekend sports activities, blended and single parent families, and hectic schedule, the actual numbers of hours a child spend in church is significantly less. It is estimated that the average church attendance for a child is now twice a month. Some more, some less. So this averages out to 40 hours a year that children are in church. That's this much. Now, once again, we can look at it as negative and say, oh my gosh, really? But where are my children's ministers at? We take full advantage of these 40 hours. We teach your children about prayer. We teach your children about worship. We teach your children how to connect with God. We do everything within our power, physical power, and Holy Spirit power to connect with your kids this often a year. But we can't do it alone. And we're here to partner with you and to use your 3,000 plus hours of influence. Add that to our 40 hours of influence, and we can raise some kids who are going to be strong in the faith, who are going to be ready to face the world. When they get to be bigger, they'll be ready to face the world. We know that those seeds of righteousness will be planted inside their hearts, and we know that, you know what? We have done our job to equip them with what they need to face the world. Amen? There's a book called The Generation at Risk, and it's calling the church body as a whole. And it says the church body as a whole needs to be embracing, influencing, and equipping all families to disciple their children while valuing, including, and preparing children to fulfill the divine plan God has purposed for them. It's our job as a church family to undergird parents as they disciple their children. It's our family. It's our job. You know what? As grandparents, to undergird our kids and to help them to disciple their children. We're not just raising kids. We're discipling kids. We're building disciples. Jesus said to make disciples. We're making disciples. Look at your kids when you get home and say, you're my little disciples. Yeah, you know, and how many hours of influence could we all have together? You know, Monica, I just love her. When her kids were in children's church, she used to quiz them. She used to make them give her a summary of what you learned in church. So they would get in the car, and she would say, what did you guys learn in church today? And Alexis and Chris knew better than to say, Jesus. Because that's a pattern. Have you ever asked your kids, what'd you learn in church today? Jesus, God. Jesus is always the answer. It's always the right answer. But the thing that I loved about Monica is that she would not allow them to get away with that simple, shallow answer. She would make them think about it. Think about it and give her a summary. What did they teach today? And that would instill in their hearts what was taught that morning. And so it wasn't just, and I'm telling you what, as a minister to children, I really did appreciate that. I do appreciate that, because what that does is that gets the message deep down inside. And that way those, you know, Jesus talked about the birds and the seeds, and they come in and to steal that seed of faith immediately, and that plants that seed deeper into their hearts. And that way those seeds can't be stolen. Well, now more than ever, the need for spiritual mothers and fathers has never been greater. The need for us to influence our children, the need for us to influence our grandchildren, and the need for us to influence the people around us, the children around us, has never been greater. Like I said, the world is playing for keeps, even more than it ever has. This is not the same world that we all grew up in. This is not the same world that I grew up in. It's definitely not the world that my parents grew up in. Things have changed, and it's time for us to change with it. Amen? And we need to start playing for keeps. Matthew 6, 19 through 21 says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desire of your heart will also be. Where's your treasure today? What's your treasure today? I could make a statement about, well, I'm retired, but I won't do that. We can't take our riches with us. we can take our children and the young people around us with us. We can take our children with us to heaven. Those are the treasures that we need to be storing in heaven. 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. Paul is talking, and he says, "Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others." We are those trustworthy people. You are those trustworthy people that need to pass it on to others. You know, it's not the Bible doesn't talk about the Dead Sea of life or the lake of life. It talks about the river of life, rivers of living water flowing through us. We are not meant to keep everything to ourselves. We are not meant to keep God's word just locked up in our hearts. Yes, we are. We need to make sure that we're nourishing and keeping ourselves nourished. But we also need to give it away. We also need to be continually replenishing this. We're a conduit of his grace. We're a conduit of his mercy. And we need to make sure that that is flowing through us to those around us. We are the trustworthy people that Paul is talking about. And there is a call right now to invest like never before into the spiritual lives of the children around us. So let's look at some examples. I love that right now what God's doing with me as I'm reading through the Bible this year is he's showing me all of these scriptures that are like cause and effect, okay? If you, God gives us a commandment, and then he says, this is what you need to do. And then right away, he says, then this is how you do it. And a lot of times we focus on those commands and say, oh, God says I have to do this. How am I going to do this? And he goes, oh, read the next verse. Read the next chapter. It's right here. And he equips us. God doesn't call us to anything that he hasn't equipped us to do. Amen? He gives us what we need because he's a good God. You know, as parents, we don't tell our kids, hey, go cook dinner. Right? We say, hey, come cook dinner with me. We say, hey, you know, Amy would call me up. 16 years old. I love you so much, darling. How do you make mac and cheese? Read the box. Jason, how do you make noodles? Google it. You have that fancy phone that I'm paying for? Google it. There we go. I'm picking on my kids. I love my kids. They know. They love me. You guys saw that. They said it. They love me. No. But our job is to equip, and God is the same with us. He equips us for what we need. And so I want to look at some examples from Scripture real quick of children that had the decks stacked against them, but yet they were able to still fulfill the destiny that God set before them. So I want to look at Daniel, and Daniel, Ezra, Esther, and Nehemiah. And I know that sounds like a strange, those are not your normal examples. But the reason why I'm using these guys as examples is because these are the children of the exile. If you read in Scripture, you know that the children of Israel turned away from God. As a nation, they turned away from God. They started worshiping false gods. They started bringing false gods and false idols into the temple of the Lord. You know, and we're finally God just said, no, I can't stay here any longer. And so as a nation, they sinned and they sinned and they sinned against God. And so what God did is he goes, we're going to do a reset. We're going to take the nation of Israel and we're going to give you a time out in a place called Babylon. And so he brought them out of the promised land that he had given them, that he had promised Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of that. He took them from that land that he promised and he gave them a time out. A 70, 80 year timeout for this nation. And so you have these children that were born in exile or born during the time of exile. Daniel was one of the young men that were taken from Jerusalem, and he was transplanted into Nebuchadnezzar's royal court to become one of his advisors, okay? And we all know, if we read through the book of Daniel, and we know the account of Daniel and what a strong man of faith he was. But what's interesting is that he was a child in Israel during this time of huge idolatry. Everywhere he looked, there was idolatry. Yet, there were people in his life that had a spiritual influence on him to teach him the ways of God. So that when he got into Nebuchadnezzar's court, one of the first things he said, one of the first things they did was, we're not eating that meat because that's been offered to idols. We need to separate ourselves and unclean meat, and we don't know where that has been. So we want to separate ourselves, and we want to live because we serve the one true God. Who taught them that? You know, they didn't learn that at church because they weren't teaching that at church. But they learned that from their parents. They learned that from their grandparents. And as a result, Daniel was taught to fear the Lord. As a result, intercession was an integral part of his life. He heard God's voice and was given visions of the future. Daniel became a prophetic voice to the exiles during that time. We know that this was not a popular stand, but those who raised Daniel made sure that he knew the laws of God and passed down their heritage to him. And so we see this with Esther, Nehemiah, and Ezra. These are all children that were born in exile. They were born in Babylon, under Babylonian culture, where Jewish culture was not popular. Esther even had to kind of hide her culture, her roots a little bit when she got accepted into the king's harem. You know, she was forced into that situation. We know all about that. But Esther, Nehemiah, and Ezra, they were all children that had people around them that were influencing them and taught them the ways of God. You know, Ezra was all awesome because he was involved with rebuilding the temple. He got to go. God put it on his heart to go and rebuild the temple of God. Nehemiah, he heard that the walls of Jerusalem were broken down. It hurt his heart. It hurt his soul to the point that he couldn't keep a happy face in the king's court like he was supposed to. And the king says, what is wrong? And he goes, my hometown is broken down. And it opened up a conversation for him to go back to Jerusalem and to bring the glory of God back to that city and to rebuild the walls of that city and to reestablish God's grace in that city. They didn't learn this. Like I said, this was not taught in church. The churches that there were no churches in Babylon, but this was taught by their parents, their grandparents, and the Jewish culture around them. This was all possible. They were all ordained by God to carry out his calling on their life to further God's divine plan for Israel. And it was all possible because as children, these people were instilled with the fire from the previous generations. God is calling us as parents, grandparents, and church family members to embrace the next generation and to pass down the passions that have been instilled into us. The passion of reading his word, the passion of intercession, the passion for worship. Let's give them an insatiable hunger for a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Let's give them an example. Let's make godliness more attractive than the world. Amen? Let's make godliness and God's grace and God's power in our lives more attractive to them, that they want what we have. Instead of saying, oh, I'm missing out on what the world has to offer. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we did prayer stations. We've been teaching your kids about prayer. And we're about halfway through our series because we had things like Easter interrupt and, you know. And then, so we decided that I decided a couple weeks ago that we were going to do prayer stations. And we set up these different stations in Children's Church. And one station, we had had blankets on the floor. And I had worship music playing. And they would come and they would lay down and they would soak in worship and soak in God's presence. We had one that, just love messages to Jesus, our graffiti board, our chalkboard. I said, it's a graffiti wall. And you're just going to draw pictures and write love letters to God on that. Write words of praise. Write words of prayer on there. And, some kids, they drew pictures of an Xbox, stuff like that. Maybe one or two, but the majority of the board was just words that said, I love God, and pictures of me and Jesus together, and things like that. We had a prayer walk where they got together and they prayed in with partners and they prayed with each other and for each other. And there were other stations there. And what I noticed as I was watching the kids worked their way through the stations, that this was something they wanted to talk to God. They wanted to interact with him. And what all these stations were meant to do is meant to show you different ways to express your love to God and to interact with God and to show you how much, to possibly hear God speak into their lives. And so this revelation that came to me a couple weeks ago as I'm watching these kids is like, wow, all we have to do is set an atmosphere. That's all we have to do. Set an atmosphere for them to want to talk to God. Amen? So in our homes, we need to do the same thing. We can set an atmosphere. 2 Timothy 1:5. Paul's talking again, and he says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is generational faith. I have the privilege of experiencing generational faith. My grandparents were saved, my parents were saved, my kids I get to pass this on to my kids and to my grandkids. And I am fully aware that not everyone has this legacy. And so what I challenge you to do today is to start that legacy. Say, you know what? My parents, we're praying for them. Or my grandparents or whatever. Maybe you're a grandparent in here. Start that legacy today. Start that legacy. You know what? From here on, I'm going to do everything I can to teach my grandkids about God. I'm going to do everything I can to teach my kids, to pray for my kids. And right now, I just want to, can I pray for you? Because I don't want anyone to feel shame because your kids are not living for God or your kids are not where you're supposed to be. And I want to just break that off of you right now. I want to break that off of you right now, because the whole purpose of this message is to equip our kids. But in the long run, our kids still have to make their own choices. And it may break our hearts. But we're going to do, like I said, everything we can to equip them. So right now, if you have prodigals out there, I just want to lift you up. You don't have to raise your hand. Let's bow our heads right now. I just want to pray over you right now. Hallelujah. And Father God, I just break the shame that some may be feeling about their children, feeling like they've let you down, feeling like they've let their kids down. And Father God, I just pray right now for those prodigals, whether they be teenagers, whether they be adults, teenage children, teenage grandchildren, adult grandchildren, whoever they may be, God, you know where they're at. And I just pray right now, we claim them for the kingdom of God. We claim those children for the kingdom of God right now. And Father God, I pray that you give a supernatural anointing on these parents and grandparents, that you would anoint them, hallelujah, to speak life into those children's hearts, into their spirits. I pray that you go with and accelerate their prayers right now, that their prayers would be accelerated, and that we don't have to wait a lifetime for them to come back to you. But Father God, that they would come back to you quickly and expediently. And we claim them for Jesus right now, and we pray all of this in Jesus's name. Amen. 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 Okay, so how do we pass the fire on? Generational fire. How do we pass this on? Ooh, I gotta go. We need to establish a family altar. Establish a family altar. Whether we do that as single people, as... I'm not done. I blame Andy. Yeah, he's just going to sit over there. We need to establish a routine of prayer and reading scripture. We need, there's a certain book that I just ran across. There's plenty of books out there, but this one in particular, brand new. This lady, Cheryl Sachs, and it's Cheryl, not Cheryl. Cheryl Sachs, she has a huge library of books that she has written. This one in particular, I bought a few months ago. And I started reading, and this is like the most practical book that I have read about prayer, not just prayer, but establishing God's presence in your home. And the thing that I like about this is that it has stuff for the family. It talks about family, but then it also talks about church family. It talks about single people, how single people can do something to increase the presence of God and to establish a family, an altar in their homes, grandparents. And there's lots and lots of illustrations. She gives example after example of people who have done different things to establish a greater presence of God in their homes and in their children's lives. And so their children's or grandchildren. So if that's one. The only reason I'm plugging this book is because I've read this book and I know that it's got the goods. And like I said, it's got some really good examples and it's just full of the presence of God. And basically, and what her premise is getting our kids ready for the next revival. Amen. Getting our kids primed and ready, and as a family, being ready, being ready for the awakening, the next great awakening that God has promised upon this nation, and that's going to turn this nation around spiritually, amen? Because that's what we need, is we need God to turn this nation around spiritually. Establishing a routine of prayer and reading scripture doesn't have to be complicated. But we need to teach our children the value of scripture and relationship with God. We also need to give our children a value for coming to church. Because this is where they see others modeling prayer. This is where they see others modeling worship. This is where the church members come in. And where we can speak words of life into your children. Speak words of life into your teenagers. Speak words of life into those. You know, that's one thing that this next generation, the older generation, can do. Is you can speak words of life into the teens, into the 20-somethings, into the 30-somethings. You know what? Looking at a mom and saying, you're doing a good job. You're doing a good job. You know, it's one thing. I can talk to my kids and say, oh, you're doing a good job, but I'm mom. You know, it's another thing when someone looks at them and say, you're doing a good job. And you don't know what they're going through and that they need to hear that. You know, it's not our job. It's not our job to be religious. It's not our job to point out the flaws in children. It's our job to encourage. You know, we need to look past the ripped jeans. We need to look past the length of their skirts. We need to look past their tattoos, their gauged ears, and their man buns. Look past that. That's them. And what we need to do is we need to find the gold in their spirit and bring the gold out. And saying, come on, come along with me. Some of them, they don't even know that they want to be, you know, they don't even know that they want that, but they do. They do. They need that atmosphere. We need to develop an atmosphere of love and be the ones to encourage them to live for God. To encourage them to live for God. Because you get Jesus on the inside, everything else is going to fall off. You know, ooh, there's a bug. Everything else is going to fall off. And the closer they get to Jesus, the less sin is going to have an influence over them. And our job as a church family is to undergird those parents, lift those parents up, and help them to disciple their kids when they're here at church. And just speak words of encouragement. I heard a testimony of a lady. A lot of the people that I listen to a lot of podcasts, I listen to a lot of preaching, and a lot of the Christian influencers. You know, we know that a testimony is, a lot of people's testimonies are, well, you know, I was raised in church, and then I fell away, and then I come back. And that's a common testimony. But the testimonies that I love are the testimonies where they had encounters with God as children. And that has been the desire of my heart for 26 years, is that we would give these children an encounter with God in our children's church. But it doesn't just stop there. Look at all this time that parents have to encounter God. You know, I remember one day my dad says, "You girls need to be filled with the Holy Spirit." And I'm like, I was 10. And he goes, "You guys need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to have prayer meeting tomorrow night right here in our house." And I'm like, okay, what is that going to look like? Because I knew what the Holy Spirit was. I was raised in church. But it was like, here we go. And so, but that next day, that next evening, Dad came home from work, and we had a prayer meeting right there in our living room, filled with the Holy, and my sister got filled with the Holy Spirit. I didn't get filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know why. I'm like, I think I was trying too hard. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. And so, yeah. And so anyways, but a few weeks later, we had a preacher come in, and I answered an altar call, and that's when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be grandparents. We need to be parents that'll have those prayer meetings where kids are going to encounter the Holy Spirit in their lives. Amen? They need to encounter God at a young age. See, we owe it to the next generation to not give them a watered-down gospel, but to equip them for a life of power and dominion over the forces of the enemy. We don't have time to play games. The enemy's not playing games. One more scripture. We need to know that we're not doing this on our own. Matthew 18, 19, and 20. Now, Jason, you can come. There you are. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit." We talked about this at the beginning of the message. He says, "Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you." Now, he finishes this off. He says, "And be sure with this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." God has never given us any kind of an assignment that he doesn't go with us. He's with us. He is with us. He is for us. He will equip us. He will strengthen us. But what we need also is we need spiritual mothers and fathers. There is such a need for spiritual mothers and fathers right now in this church. In this church, we need spiritual mothers and fathers that will look at the next generation, that will undergird these parents that are raising kids, and that'll say, "Come on, let us do life with you. Come on, let us speak words of encouragement into you." To grab, you know what, maybe you're an older, 20-something, grab one of these 7th graders, 8th graders, middle schoolers, high schoolers that are around, running around, and say, "Come on, let's do life together. Let me show you how to live for God. Let me show you what it means to live for God." Amen? I want to leave you with this. Alex Craven is a youth pastor in Kentucky, and he was looking at the state of our nation earlier this year, and he wrote this following: "Don't feel sorry or fear for the kids, for your kids, because the world that they are going to grow up in is not what it used to be. God created them and called them for the exact moment in time that they're in. Their life wasn't a coincidence or an accident. So we need to raise up our kids to know the power they walk in as children of God. We need to train them up in the authority of his word. We need to teach them to walk in faith, knowing that God is in control. We need to empower them to know that they can change the world. Don't teach them to be fearful and disheartened by the state of the world, but hopeful that they could do something about it. Every person in all of history has been placed in the time that they are in because of God's sovereign plan. He knew that Daniel could handle the lion's den. He knew that David could handle Goliath. He knew that Esther could handle Haman. He knew Peter could handle persecution. He knows that your child or grandchild can handle whatever challenge they face in their life because he created them specifically for it. Don't be afraid for your children. Be honored that God chose you to parent the next generation, to parent the generation that is facing the biggest challenges of our lifetime. It is time for us to rise up to this challenge. We need to raise Daniels, Davids, Esthers, and Peters. God isn't scratching his head, wondering what he's going to do with the mess of this world. He has an army that he's raising up to drive back the darkness and make him known over the earth. Don't let your fear steal the greatness that God placed in them. I know it's hard to imagine them as anything besides our sweet little babies. And we just want to protect them from anything that could ever be hard on them. But they were born for such a time as this. Amen. Amen. Before we leave, can I have you stand for just a minute? And what I want you to do is I want you to take, can we do this in about 30 seconds? As I want you to look around, and if you are an older generation person and you see a younger generation family or couple around you, I want you to kind of connect with them right now, and I want you to pray over them. If you're a younger generation then and you see an older generation, maybe go find them. And what we're going to do is I want you to pair up right now. Go ahead, do that right now. Pair up with someone in your area. Oh, go ahead, move. You can move. You can move. Oh, she's making us move. Stand next to her because we're going to pray together. We're going to pray together. Older generation, find the younger generation. We got some younger ladies back in the back. 30-somethings are still younger generation. Older generation, we got some people up here that need prayed for. Right over here. Oh, get out of your seats. Come on. Here we go. All right. Jesus. And what I want you to do right now is I want you to pray a blessing over those older people. Play a blessing over those younger people. Younger people, pray a blessing over the older generation. Help us to join together to be equipped for what God has purposed this church to be. Amen? Go. Hallelujah. Just pray over each other just for a minute. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father God, I pray that you would help to make connections today, Lord God. Help to make connections. Help to bridge the gap between our generations, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to learn from the older people, the older generations, Lord God. Help us to undergird the younger generations that they would be able to raise their children, to raise our children, our church children, Lord God, the children of this house. Hallelujah, the children of this house to be mighty men and women of God, to stand for righteousness, to put down the forces of the enemy, and to be able to say, you know what, I am living for God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and this house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our lives. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you to make connections. Make connections. Spiritual mothers and fathers, go find children that need you. Children, go find a spiritual mother and a father to connect with, to learn from, and to be discipled by. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming. Have a good Mother's Day. Don't forget to visit our photo booth.
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.